Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KRFY Morning Show on this Tuesday, May 19th. Here in the studio, we are live, and my name is Susie Prez, and I have a co-host this morning.
Yep, my name is Alyssa Watts.
Okay, good morning, Alyssa. We have guests in the studio, Mel Dick. He's here. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning.
And you're here to talk about the Chafe 150 bike ride.
That's right.
This is going to be fun. I'm really interested in this. And we're hoping that Brad Williams will show up. If he does, he can just join us on this beautiful day. So maybe, Alyssa, you could tell us about the weather from the National Weather Service.
Yeah, thanks, Susie. It's currently 55 degrees and sunny outside. Today, forecast a high of 75 and sunny.
And what about tomorrow?
Looks like the same all week. 76 tomorrow, 77 on Thursday.
We can deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. I do like it when it rains, though. We certainly need the precipitation. Anyways, let's get to our talk here about the Chafe 150. Mel, you've been involved in this for a long time.
I have. This is my seventh year of being involved and the eighth year of the ride.
So you joined in pretty early.
I joined in very early. In fact, the first year that they put the ride on, I was actually on a ride across the United States. I had just retired, and the ride was going on around that time.
So you are an avid bicycle rider.
I do, since I've been able to retire. Ever since I've been a little kid, I grew up on a farm, and the only way to get to school was to walk or ride your bike.
Definitely take the two wheels.
Huh? That's right.
So this, as we were talking before we started the interview, is it's not a race. It's a timed ride, and you call it a Grand Fondo. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, a Grand Fondo. The concept of Grand Fondo started over in Europe, in Italy, and it literally means big ride and fun ride. And so it's an opportunity for everyone to go on a great ride, great rest stops, music. We have music at our after ride party and things like that. It is a timed ride, but it is not a race. It is not a race.
So for some people that have been doing this for maybe even 8 years, they're looking maybe to see if they can just be a little faster each year. So maybe a personal best or something like that. But it's really a fun ride.
It is really a fun ride, and it's meant for all levels. So we have a 150-mile route, we have an 80-mile route, and we have a 30-mile fun ride called the Grand Fondo Piccolo. And my cohort here, Brad Williams, has just joined us. Brad has actually, I believe, ridden the ride all 7 years that's been put on, and probably is planning on riding again this year.
Yeah, that's right. I missed one ride, but that's it.
Well, welcome. We're glad you showed up. So, Mel, what is your position or job on this planning group, and when do you start planning every year for the Chafe 150?
Yeah, the ride is presented by the Sandpoint Rotary. And it's really a year-long effort to put the ride on. As soon as the ride is over, we'll start debriefing and talking about what went well and what happened and what we can do better next year. It's a effort probably of a half a dozen or so Rotarians that are involved on a year-round basis. Brad is our ride chairman. Brad is, and we'll let him talk about that, was the brainchild behind the Chafe 150 ride a number of years ago, when it used to be put on by the Panhandle Alliance for Education.
So, Brad, what really inspired starting this, since you were there from the beginning?
Well, it's really the route. You know, there's very few places in the world that are this pretty, and particularly that Lake Creek, Bull River, back along the Clark Fork section. I mean, it's so gorgeous, and it was just waiting for some sort of a organized ride to take advantage of that scenery.
And there's a secondary reason we're doing this. It benefits a very important aspect, and it benefits our own local citizens. Can you tell us about the fundraising aspect of it?
Well, we're raising funds for autism in the local school district. They're putting on a fantastic program for students with autism. And autism, as most people know, is hugely common these days. And the school system doesn't have the resources to provide all that they really should for these folks. So that's where the funds have gone. And I'd just like to thank all of the sponsors. We've got just a huge variety of people sponsoring the ride this year. And, you know, virtually all of the costs will be covered by those sponsors. And that'll allow us to get even more money to the cause this year.
I have some more technical questions about the ride itself. So there's three portions. There's a 150, an 80, and then a 30. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the differences, besides just the distance they travel?
Well, the 150 is, of course, a long ways.
And where do they start?
The 150 and the 30 both start from City Beach.
Okay.
The 150 starts at 6:30 in the morning. The 30 starts at noon. The goal is for everyone to finish at roughly the same time for the after ride party. So then the people riding the 80 also depart from City Beach, but they're not on bicycles. They're taking school buses to Troy, Montana, and they leave from Troy.
Okay.
And they leave from Troy at 9:30. And they, you know, we sort of stage everything so that people hopefully arrive back here at roughly the same point in time. So we have a terrific after-ride party at City Beach that Trinity caters. So we'll have great food, and we've got wine and beer from some of our great sponsors, Laughing Dog and Pondre Winery. So
yeah,
it's a great time.
So if someone hadn't started training, is it too late to join the ride?
It really isn't, particularly the 30-mile ride.
Okay.
Several years ago, I rode the 150 ride with Billie Jean Gerke. Billie Jean was one of our top fundraisers several years ago, and she had never ridden really hardly any distance at all,
she
let alone
150?
150 miles.
Wow.
Now, she did train for a couple months,
okay.
But Billie Jean and I rode the ride. I was coming off an injury, so I signed up the night before the ride. It took us 12 plus hours, but we got done.
Wow.
But, you know, the 30-mile ride is certainly doable. That's really the fun part of it. The 80-mile ride is doable. And the 150, you really do need to train if you're going to enjoy the ride and enjoy the beautiful scenery that Brad talked about.
Can you talk about training?
We do. On our website, chafe150.org, we do have a training schedule on there.
Mm-hmm.
So training, I'll give you a good example. Vicki Reich from the Idaho Poor Authority, which is one of our sponsors, and Vicki is going to ride the 150. She's also one of our fundraisers. The ride is such that the registration fee, you pay the registration fee, and then we require each of the riders to raise a minimum of $50.
Okay.
And then depending on how much money you raise, and all that money goes to the cause, you can win different prizes. So in Vicki's case, she has already raised over $4,000.
That's amazing.
And that qualifies her to get a free bike, a registration for next year, as well as a top fundraiser donor. But Vicki has been riding, and she's been following the training ride schedule that's on the website. So she's working her way up. I think this Monday she's planning on doing a ride of approximately 100 miles, and she'll get up to 115 miles, and then she'll probably start tapering.
It's kind of like training for a marathon.
Yes.
People can do it, but there's specific ways of doing it. I'm glad to hear that she'll do at least a 150 before she attempts the, a 100 before she attempts the 150. Because you can always finish. You know, it might take a while as long as you're not racing.
That's right.
Just keep on pedaling. When you mentioned, I want to get back to a little bit to the sponsors. You have all these, you have six different stops along the route where people can get fed and watered and taken care of. You probably have emergency medical stations where people, if they need a little help or need to stop and rest for a while. So that takes a lot. That's a lot of infrastructure and a lot of food and water and cost.
That's correct. You know, the ride starts out with fantastic breakfast at City Beach Park for the 150-mile race riders and the 80-mile riders, and then a continental breakfast for the 30-mile fun ride. There are six rest stops that are manned by various different community organizations. So the school, for example, will man one or two of the spots. The Presbyterian Church, Rotary does a spot. One of our sponsors, Laughing Dog Brewery, does a spot. So we really get the community involved. There's probably 50-plus volunteers that just do the rest stops alone. We have coffee. We have food. We get food from one of our sponsors. We buy some of the food, but we do have food donated by Winter Ridge Natural Foods is helping us out this year. We're hoping Super One will help us as well. We get coffee from Evans Brothers, just a whole host of sponsors. We have over 70 sponsors this year, and probably 50 so of those are cash sponsors, and the rest would be considered in-kind sponsors. And through, as Brad mentioned, through the efforts of our sponsors, we really have the cost of the ride covered and probably then some. We're hoping to probably raise at least $40,000 this year. And then the riders themselves and their fundraising efforts, you know, benefit the cause as well.
So a rider gets pledges for their ride.
They say, that's correct.
I'm going to ride 150 miles. Can you sponsor me? So they find friends and family. It's truly a community event, sounds like.
It really is. And the pledges, it can all be done on online. Mm-hmm. So you can set up your own fundraising page online. And many people do that. You can also do it via paper as well. And some riders just show up and pay their registration fee and the extra $50, and then they ride.
I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY, and you're listening to the KRFY Morning Show right here on Tuesday, May 19th. And we're talking with Mel Dick and Brad Williams, organizers and riders in the CHAFE 150 bike ride that benefits our students on the autism spectrum in the Lake Pend Oreille School District. What a wonderful benefit this ride really is, because I like the thought that it goes directly to our own community. And $40,000, which is your goal this year, can go a long ways. And what are some of the things that the school district uses these funds for to help these students?
Well, 2 years ago when we started the ride at Rotary, prior to Rotary doing the ride was done for education as well through the Panhandle Alliance for Education. We put a different twist on it, and that was for students on the autism spectrum. And what the school has done during the last 2 years is they have put in some resources at each of the schools that are, I guess, for lack of a better term, I'd call them specialists or people that teachers and others can go to for help with students that are on the autism spectrum. They have been able to purchase some standardized way of dealing with children that or students that are on the spectrum. And then they've been able to purchase other things. If you're familiar with autism, it's a broad spectrum disease. It's all the way from Asperger's, which is, you know, very, very brilliant, to nonverbal. And kind of a common theme is the difficulty to relate and necessarily in a social setting and things like that. So it's everything from, you know, blankets, et cetera, that allow the students to feel comfortable, to technology, to being able to use iPads to communicate with and things like that.
To adaptive equipment, things
yes.
that really can support their development
yes.
and growth. Well, that's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the bike ride. As you said, it's not a race. It's a timed ride. It's nationally recognized, so people come from out of the area. Is that correct? Or is this mostly in North Idaho riders?
The majority of our riders are from this general region, Coeur d'Alene, Sandpoint, Spokane. But, yeah, we do get riders from all over. We get a few international, from a few Europeans, but we get quite a number of Canadians and many people from Montana and Western Washington, you know, a few from California. So,
as you said, it kind of was an inspiration for you, Brad, because of the route itself. You wanted to bring recognition to the beauty of our area, and it's true. I mean, where else could you? It doesn't have any mountain passes or long uphills, as you call it. Of course, if you go uphill, you get to go downhill. so you don't have those nice downhills either. But it's so spectacularly beautiful that a lot of people are probably drawn to just do it for that too.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and you know, not a lot of cars. You know, all of these are public roads, and they aren't closed. But the Highway 95 section is a bit busy, but we do that very early in the morning, so you know, there's really not even much traffic there.
It's been recognized as one of the top 10 scenic rides in the country, and the 150-mile ride has been recognized as one of the top endurance rides, one-day endurance rides in the country.
So, Brad, back to the race, how it feels to do the race yourself. Can you tell me, between those rest stops, there's six of them along the route, are they spaced enough so people don't have to bring in their own nutrition or hydration, or do you recommend people bring?
Well, they are spaced out in a reasonable manner. It's roughly every 30 miles, and there's really only five rest stops along the 150-mile route. The mm-hmm. sixth rest stop is along the 30-mile route.
Okay.
So, you know, people do need to start off with full water bottles and, you know, whatever snacks they might want in the first 30 miles. But then from there, most people don't bring much. They're mm-hmm. relying on what we have.
And if they get a flat tire along the route, is there a van following that helps them, or are they responsible?
I mean, we've got great SAG support. So there will be three follow vehicles. We'll have motorcycle escorts, and we'll have a couple of roving mechanics with the equipment to deal with at least minor bike issues.
Okay.
So, you know, one of the things that this ride has always tried to do is to really be the best in the U.S., right? Our goal is not to just put on something. Our goal is to put on the best that we can.
Mm-hmm.
Bonner General also provides medical support for the ride. So there will be nurses at the start, the finish, and support people throughout the ride.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I bet it's kind of fun to look back at the first ride and see where you've gotten in 8 years, because through experience you've probably learned a lot of what to do and what not to do, what to add and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. But in many ways, I mean, this is sort of my secret, at least, for the ride. There's this ride in Dillon, Montana called Rat Pod, and everything I ever learned, I just ripped off from them. They put on a fantastic ride, and they're a great thing to emulate.
You didn't have to invent the wheel.
No, not really.
It was all there. Mm-hmm. Do you have any requirements? And my thing is, of course, helmets. How do you require helmets?
Oh, yeah, we require helmets, and we give a safety speech at the beginning. And so we want people to wear helmets. We really frown on people wearing earbuds, people that ride time trial type bikes or triathlon bikes. We try to get them to not use their lay down bars when they're riding in groups. So we do encourage some general safety things. We also try to keep people from riding abreast on the highway and that sort of thing.
Do you have signs out on the highway to say bikers on the road, caution, things like that?
Yes, we do.
I've seen those before. Yeah. I think the last time I talked with the Chafe 150 people, it might have been last year, you were trying to talk me into doing it, but I didn't. But maybe one of these years.
Well, you can still do the 30. Uh-huh. Start with the 30, then graduate up to the 80, and then 2 years do the 150.
Mm. Okay. I noticed on your little talking sheet here that you have someone last year, the youngest rider was six. They must have done the 30 with their family, Taylor Allport. And the oldest was Beth Allen. I won't say the age. That was the 30-mile Great for Family ride. So really, it's open to the whole community.
It really is. And the 30-mile ride was added last year, which to really give the entire community an opportunity to ride in it, because it is a fundraiser, as you've mentioned, for our students at the school district. And so that's the part of the ride that we're looking to really grow. It starts at City Beach, and it goes out through Sully Valley. It turns around at the Pack River Store, which is a wonderful rest stop area. You can jump in the river if you want, cool off, come back, and then enjoy the party down at City Beach. And the City Beach party is, it's available. The ride, it's part of the ride registration fee, but it's available for a small fee for the community as a whole to participate in that. And, you know, we have several hundred non-riders that do come down for that. So, again, we're really trying to create a community event and, as Brad said, make it one of the best in the country.
And when is the event?
That's what I was just going to
say. I just remembered we
had it's on June 20th.
Okay.
It's always the third Saturday of June.
Okay.
And the weather is variable, so it's always dressed for...
You know, knock on wood, the weather in the 8 years of the ride, I can only recall one year where we had a lot of rain, and we ended up with a lot of sun that year at the end of the after ride party. So we seem to be fortunate most years.
Kind of like the festival.
That's correct.
the sun comes out.
Do you ride in any weather, like thunderstorms and windstorms?
Well, we've never had to cancel yet. There could be circumstances that had caused the thing to cancel or reroute. You know, the only thing I can really think of would be fires.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Worst fires. But, you know, it's conceivable, but it would have to be pretty bad probably. It will probably go rain or shine.
So. And last year there was some headwinds. That's what I heard.
Well, typically, because the route, the 150 is circular, generally you're going to have wind in one direction or another when you're going around in a circle. Yeah. But it's like hills. You know, for every uphill, there's a downhill. And if you have a headwind on this particular ride, you may have a tailwind on part of it.
Okay.
How many riders are you expecting? And, again, the registration information, and how late can you register before it's too late?
We're expecting probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 350-plus riders. You can register the morning of the ride if you want. We'd encourage you to sign up early and register online at the chafe150.org website. But you can just walk up and register. And every year we have probably a dozen or so people that do that.
And the cost on the 150 and the 80 is $75 for registration plus a mandatory donation of $50. And then the 30 is a little bit cheaper. The registration is 45 and the mandatory donation is 50. And don't forget that donation goes to a great cause.
Let's talk a little bit more about the cause. It is for students in the Lake Pend'Oreille School District that are on the autism spectrum to give them support so they can succeed to their development, their level, and go beyond and really have the support of our community in the school. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and the school district's very fortunate. Dr. Joy Jansen is head of the special needs programs at the school, and she does just a wonderful job. She did a presentation to Rotary about a month ago where we invited all of our sponsors to come to the presentation, and everyone was just so impressed with what the school has been able to do with those funds.
And if you come out and ride, you can do the 150 route, and you can see Joy at the second rest stop cooking bacon.
Okay. That was one of my questions. You're going to serve breakfast for the 150 people before they leave, and you're going to have a big, huge lunch afterwards, and Trinity is doing all that.
That's correct.
Do you make that much food? I mean, that's a lot of people.
Well, they start very early in the morning. The rest stops, we purchase food, and the rest stops will have everything from sandwiches to cookies to wraps donated by one of our sponsors, Arby's. And, you know, it's an effort, but it's no different than any other big catering event, quite frankly.
Sure. You just keep cooking.
That's right.
And your sponsors, and you have over 70 sponsors. I'm just really appreciate that people have reached out and support the Chafe 150 because of the benefits to our students. You can still register at www.chafe150.org. And find out more about the race. Set up a site, I guess, a
fundraising website?
Fundraising website, and get sponsors and make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
So you have a happy hour coming up. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it'll be at the Idaho Poor Authority on May 27th, and a portion of the proceeds that they take in that evening will go to the cause. As I mentioned before, Vicki Reich, one of the owners, is our top fundraiser to date. Mm-hmm. Vicki's raised over $4,000 already, so she'll get a bike. And she plans to take that bike and then I think use it for another fundraiser that's involved with the school as well. So kudos to Vicki. We have some great music that night. For those of you who are Devin Wade fans, I would really encourage you to come out. Devin is probably one of our top local musicians here. Plays a variety of music, and it's just a fun time. We'll have some raffles. We'll be giving out some prizes, it's just a fun time.
And when is that again?
It is on June 27th.
May 27th.
I'm sorry, May 27th.
So that's just next week.
And it's from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. at the Idaho Poor Authority.
Okay, so next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Wonderful.
We really appreciate you coming in and telling us about the Chafe 150. I do have one more question. Are both of you riding in it? In the Chafe 150?
I am. This is Brad. And one other thing I wanted to mention in regards to training, we have training rides coming on Mondays. Now, there won't be one this coming Monday, Memorial Day, but the rest of the Mondays until the ride day, we'll have training rides that leave from Greasy Fingers at 5:30 on Monday evening, and they're no drop and, you know, a quick pace, but not a killer pace. So if people are interested in training, come out on out on Mondays.
How long are those training rides?
An hour and 15 to 2 hours.
And the distance?
Well, that'll just depend on the people, but probably, you know, 25 to 30 miles.
Okay.
And that's on Monday, not next Monday, but after that,
yes.
Up until the race, which is June 20th.
Yes.
And that's Greasy Fingers. And what time does that?
5:30 on Mondays.
5:30 on Mondays. That's good to know. And Mel?
I will not be in the ride this year. I'm on a bicycle racing team called Team Laughing Dog. And we do an annual race called Race Across America, which starts on June 20th in Oceanside, California, and ends in Annapolis, Maryland, about a week later.
Wow.
Well, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. You've done it before, I take it.
I have.
Okay. So
and I'm a crew member this year, so I just have to support the four riders.
And cheer them on. And I like the idea of being at City Beach on June 20th at the end of the race and just cheering on everyone. If you can't ride, you can do that. Walk the Bay Trail first, celebrate the day, and cheer on these riders. So thank you very much for coming in. Anything else you want to share with us?
No, I just encourage everybody to sign up, register now so you can get in and come out and have a great time with us.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day. Mel has scheduled the gorgeous weather, so come on out and ride.
Thank you so much, Mel Dick and Brad Williams from the Chafe 150 for coming in and telling us all about it.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
We have some more guests coming in after this song. This is Queen Bicycle Race, so stay tuned. Don't go away. Our guests will be a little band that's touring through Sandpoint called Intuitive Compass, so stay tuned. But listen, right now you can hear Queen Bicycle Race.
Bicycle. I want to ride.
That was Queen Bicycle Race, and we are back in the studios of KRFY right here at 88.5. And this is The Morning Show, and I'm Susie Prez, one of your hosts. And we now have a whole new group of people. We just talked with Mel Dick and Brad Williams from the Chafe 150 bike ride. We heard all about that. And now we have this interesting group. It's like a gypsy band. They're called Intuitive Compass. And we have Aurelia, Jason, and Carrie, who are coming through basically from Bozeman.
We played in Bozeman the night before last. And
were you on Live from the Divide?
You know, we weren't, but next time we'll have to do that, won't we?
Yeah, that sounds good. And, well, welcome to Sandpoint. You're passing through because you're going to play tonight at Monarch Coffee, actually from 4 to 6 this afternoon.
Yes. You got it.
Okay, and then where are you going after that?
We will be playing in Winthrop at the Is it Old School Brew House?
Okay, I think I've heard of that.
Actually, it sounds like we might squeeze something in Pullman as well on the way, but that's a private party. So
down and then up.
Down and then up, and then over to Seattle for the Folklife Festival. We were doing a lot more stuff close together and night after night about a month ago at the beginning of tour. Now we've stretched out a little bit. We're waiting.
Let's see, it's the 19th.
Between.
We've been on tour now for 50 days.
Well, where did you start?
We started this tour, this spring expedition is what we're calling it, over in Bellingham, Washington, on April 1st with a great band called Hot Damn Scandal, who we've been touring with pretty much full time. And in Boulder, we kind of took our own trail, and we're meeting them in Winthrop, the Old Schoolhouse Brewery.
Been recording a little on the way, here and there, a little in the Bay Area, a little in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our second radio interview. The first one was in San Francisco.
Well, that's pretty cool. I'm glad you contacted me, Aurelia, to set up this interview. It's just kind of at the last minute, but we're glad to have you here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. And we have a variety of instruments. When I was listening to some of your music, it reminded me of like a little gypsy band. That's all I could really put to... There's kazoos. I heard kazoos. And, of course, I see your...
The squeeze box.
I call it like an accordion.
Yep.
It's an accordion.
We have a trumpet.
Trombone.
Okay. And all kinds of stuff over there with Jason.
This is a 1934 Resophonic steel guitar.
And you love that guitar, don't you?
Cool. Yes, actually, I do.
I can tell. I can imagine. It probably has a really ancient little sound to it.
It is.
Well, to give everyone who's listening a little taste of what they can expect at Mountain Coffee this afternoon from 4 to 6, let's hear a song. But tell us a little bit about the song first and a little bit about the band. You said that you've been on the road for 50 days. But how did you find your sound? Because it has definitely a uniqueness to it.
I blame Jason for the sound. Combo pack, but...
Not really sure exactly how I stumbled across the sound or if it found me. I think spending several years on the road and living in and around Nashville and New Orleans as a young guy, the sound just kind of rubbed off on me. Growing up as a kid, I played a lot more loud kind of basement rock and roll. And in my early adult years, I spent a lot of time in folk circles. So I never quite lost the drive of a basement band, but I definitely started to appreciate the folk lifestyle. I guess I'd always liked Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie, but until I was out on the road living it, I never truly understood. So now I feel like I live the life of a troubadour, and that's the sound that comes with the lifestyle, I guess.
Troubadour. You're just telling a story with your sound and some vocals. But it's really the sound of the band and all the instruments and the... So, you want to introduce your song?
Yeah, this first song I'd like to sing for you guys is going to be called She Walks in the Room, and it's about living in small towns like this one here in Sandpoint, and how when you have a crush on somebody in a small town like this one, you're probably going to run into that person everywhere you go. At the co-op, town square. All right, here it goes.
Whoa.
Day and it's half past noon,
She walks in the room by intuitive compass. And that was really a fun song. How did you come up with that? I mean, I think I already kind of asked that, but it's evolving, I bet.
Well, now the honest answer. No. Well, that was fairly honest. But the truth is that when the band first started, we started the band in the North Bay Area, north of San Francisco, in 2011. And the entire project migrated to Southern Oregon that May. And we would busk farmers markets. We would street perform, busk farmers markets and outside of festivals. And we weren't really playing a whole lot of stages back then, or radio shows for that matter. We were just kind of trying to get the project off the ground. And often we would play on Siskiyou Boulevard in Ashland, Oregon. And there was this beautiful young lady who would always walk by, and I don't think any of us ever caught her name or talked to her even once.
I talked to her.
Ah, right.
She was real cute. She'd dance around.
Right. She'd dance by rather than walk by.
To the music.
To the music, you're busking, yeah. But right. she always had somewhere to go, you know. And but we all thought she was beautiful. And it was kind of like this inside joke. Oh, there goes she walks.
Okay. You know? She walks in the room. Is this one of the new songs, Aurelia, that you were mentioning? Is it on your CD?
We just re-recorded this song as the constellation you see here, plus a washboard who isn't with us currently. But it's on our original album, which is back when we were a six-piece, and I was still playing the washtub bass and had never touched an accordion, really. And there was banjo and mandolin and fiddle back in that constellation of the band. So we're excited to release a new version of it.
Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing project. Just mentioning Ashland, Oregon, have you heard of Patchy Sanders?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, they're coming here to Sandpoint to play a benefit concert for KRFY Radio on the 29th of May.
Wonderful.
So we're really looking forward to that. Ashland's not a great big town, so you must have ran into them a few times.
Small world.
Danny and Ian and
mm-hmm. They're one of the only other folk bands that we know of in our 40-mile mm-hmm. radius kind of down there in Southern Oregon.
Yeah, they describe themselves as a folk orchestra, folk orchestra.
A forkestra,
exactly.
Folkestra.
Let's
play with words today, children. So we have in the studios of 88.5 KRFY Intuitive Compass, we have Aurelia, Jason, and Carrie. There's a few more people out there. We couldn't fit them all in the studio. But this is the main part of the group?
Yes, for the time being, this is the core of the group.
The core.
The one you're missing is our 3-year-old son who plays the banjo lately.
The teeny tiny banjo out there.
Yeah.
Okay. And I noticed that you have this, you have a harmonica, but a few minutes ago you had a kazoo hooked into that thing around your neck.
As Aurelia had mentioned, we have toured predominantly as a duet for the last 3 years. And with that comes trying to create a full sound. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we're very much a dance band, as you might hear. We like to get people grooving a little bit. And so I was like, okay, well, we were a six-piece, and then we were a four-piece, and then eventually we were a two-piece. We wanted to provide the fans with that same classic sound that they were to expect out of Intuitive Compass. So I simply started playing the kick drum with my right foot, the tambourine with my left foot, the guitar with my hands, and various harmonicas and kazoos with my mouth to create a full sound. Aurelia is also playing service bells with her feet, and the accordion, as most people know, is kind mm-hmm. of like two instruments in one. You have the bass end on the left and the piano keys on the right.
And Carrie, you play the trombone, and that kind of acts like the bass. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my function in the band currently, yes.
Have you been playing the instrument for long?
No.
No?
Not really.
You sound great.
Thank you.
Here.
Okay. Again, you're playing this afternoon at Monarch Mountain. So you're just passing through and thought, let's stop in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Well, we had a friend we met in Bellingham who moved out here, Heather. Hello, Heather, if you're listening. And Leif, and they have a beautiful...
Oh, Leaf beautiful Love place. Tree.
Yes, you got it.
He's the teacher at the Waldorf school where I work, so...
Yeah, so I know that Leaf. Was our connection to Sand okay. Point, and they were like, come to Sand Point!
Okay, they did the same thing with Patchy Sanders. That's how we met up with them. Awesome. It's Leaf. He's the connection to everything.
Yeah, they do quite the networking between them.
So are you going to stay with them tonight?
Or that are you was moving the plan, on? But well, we are staying in town tonight. Apparently the habitation has switched around.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yes, we'll be visiting them for sure.
And you will be at Monarch
and we'll
Mountain
be at
Coffee.
Monarch Mountain Coffee, 4 to 6.
4 to 6. And yes. So this unique sounding gypsy band, is that a good word?
You know,
depends on who you ask.
In Eastern Europe, they'd probably find it offensive.
Okay.
I was offended by that word until this past summer when I went to visit my grandfather and found out I actually have gypsy blood and that therefore I can use the word without feeling like mm-hmm. some sort of racist.
And how would you describe the band if you didn't use that word?
I will say we get that all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely an Eastern European influence and Middle Eastern influence in some of the more melodic melodies that we play in certain songs. But there's also a very classic early jazz and blues.
Okay, so eclectic.
Well. Yeah.
Unique and original.
People call it vaudevillian.
Vaudevillian.
And
that's
some people
really
have been calling us what, folk nouveau?
Okay. Yeah, folk nouveau. We've got love punk, but I don't know about that.
And you're intuitively moving around the country 50 days on the road. Deep on the
this
road.
This time, yeah.
I think your next book should be How to Tour with a Young Child and a Group of People Ever Evolving.
Speaking of which, we are currently running an Indiegogo campaign to fix our tour bus, which I will never tour without again in my child's childhood. And so if you want to check it out, you can look on Indiegogo or just on our website. It's Intuitive Compass Save Delia. That's her name.
Save Delia, the bus.
Yeah.
Make life a little easier on the road. Well, we have time for another song. You can introduce it and play us a song.
I think I'd like to play one with the kind of the classic Intuitive Compass sound. This one's called, it's an instrumental. It's called the E minor swing thing. Sorry about that. Get it right. One, two. Thank you.
is Intuitive Compass, right here in the studios of KRFY. And thank you. What was the name of that song again?
For the time being, we're calling that one the E minor swang thing. Swang with an A, thing with an A.
So I just figured out your music is happy music.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good to me. And it's a really nice way to start the day, so thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Studios Susan. Of 88.5, and this is Community Radio, by the way.
Awesome.
And have a great afternoon, and we'll see you at Monarch Mountain Coffee from 4 to 6 tonight, or
Cheers.
This afternoon.
Bring your dancing shoes.
Yep, we're going to let them leave the studio. We'll be back, Alyssa and myself, to finish out the hour of the KRFY Morning Show. But first, we're going to hear Intuitive Compass, When I Leave. And we'll be right back. That was Intuitive Compass, When I Leave. They'll be here in Sandpoint. They are here in Sandpoint. They just left the studio. We had some live music. And they'll be playing this afternoon at Monarch Mountain Coffee from 4 to 6. And Alyssa.
Yeah, Alyssa. They were wonderful.
Yeah.
They had great energy. It was very joyful here in the studio.
Yeah.
I see that they have a website. It's intuitive-compass.com. So you can get more information about them. Probably about their tour and about their CDs as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't see. Well, we want to do is remind you that it's time to get your tickets for the Lindsay Lou and the Flatbellies, Patchy Sanders, KRFY Benefit Concert, that's Community Radio here in North Idaho, which is happening May 29th at the Panada.
That's next Friday.
It's coming up.
Like a week and a half away.
Right. And where can you get the tickets?
Lots of places. iCarts, POAC, Eve's Leaves. You can get it here in the studio, 265-2992. That's KRFY's phone number. Online at thepanada.org or online at patchysanders.com. Lots of places to get your tickets. They're $10 each, mm-hmm. and it's for a benefit for the KRFY.
And that's a good thing. We're going to leave you this morning with a couple thoughts. I first want to remind you that Thursday, May 21st, you can tune into the KRFY Morning Show with Jack and Diane. Their guests will be organizers of the Relay for Life event that's coming up. Also, tonight you can join me at 8 o'clock for a live interview with Roughshod. That's Fiddlin' Red and Desiree That is Between the Notes. It's a show about songwriters, about songwriting, with songwriters about songwriting. But we're going to leave you right now. We want to give away some tickets to the Lindsay Lou Patchy Sanders concert. So the third caller, once the music starts, just call in, leave a message. I'll check the message machine. And that number is 265-2992. So as soon as the music starts, you can start calling in. The third caller that's on the message machine will receive two tickets, and I'll call you back and let you know. And right now, here's Lindsay Lou and the Flatbellies, Everything Changed. So call in, 265-2992, for some tickets. Third caller, have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.